The story is told of a group of people who visited a furniture factory. And you can imagine as they made their way around that furniture factory, the different things that they would see there. They go in and they look at the materials room. And they see all the raw timber. And as they start to make their way around the various parts of the factory, they see the workmanship, the craftsmanship that goes into each and every piece of furniture that's produced. And then eventually they get to the showroom and they see the finished article. They see the various pieces of beautiful furniture and they're impressed. Well, the story is told that the tour guide, he came to this group and he said, "This is the finest quality timber you will ever see." And the group had to agree. They had noticed the fine quality of the timber. He said, "It's the finest quality timber of its kind, and the secret is the intricate and ornate grain, that effect you see in woodwork. You see," he said, "this timber comes from trees that have had to withstand storms. Trees that have been battered and shaken by strong winds. And that being the case, they must learn to withstand the battering winds. They must grow strong. And so the tree grows strong. The tree forms intricately woven fibers, so tight. And we see the effect of that in the beautiful grain. We see how intricately, tightly the fibers grow together when we look at the grain on the wood. And it's beautiful. The wood then is strong, but it's also pleasing to the eye." One man writes that this is just like the Christian life. So often the Christian life, we are beset by storms, difficulties, trials. Often the Lord will send those storms, those trials to test us and to prove us. But the result is we are made stronger and more beautiful in God's sight. The Lord uses those difficulties to strengthen us, and he also uses those difficulties to make us more and more like the Savior, to sanctify us, to make us more pleasing in his sight. And that's what's happening here in Matthew's gospel and the chapter 14. We see the disciples, and they're on this body of water. And the storm arises. And they're going through difficulty. They're going through hardship. They're frightened. And yet the Lord is using this difficulty to instruct them, to make them stronger, to make them more beautiful, to sanctify them, to shape them, to make them more and more like the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for a few moments this morning, we simply consider, when we come to Matthew chapter 14, lessons from the tempest. Lessons from the tempest. And the first thing we notice, the first lesson we learn from Matthew chapter 14 is the compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ. Matthew chapter 14 and the verse 25. "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." You remember the context here. You remember that the disciples are in the midst of a great storm. They're frightened. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, who is sovereign over all things, knew they were in the storm. And so he comes to them. Just when all seems bleak, when all seems hopeless, when they're frightened, perhaps even frightened for their lives, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the disciples. He comes in a powerful way. The storm is raging here. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ comes completely unharmed, walking on the surface of the water. And the disciples have to respond in verse 33, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And Jesus Christ comes to the disciples in the midst of the storm. And of course, believer, we're reminded this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ cares for us in the midst of our troubles. And perhaps this morning you think, well, that seems like a fairly basic thing to say. But the truth of the matter is, as Christians, so often we forget this truth. We go through the difficulties. There are hardships we have to bear, and we're burdened down. And we feel the pressure, we feel the heat of the day, we feel that no one understands, no one can help us. And it's almost like we forget that the Lord Jesus Christ cares. It's almost that we forget the Lord Jesus Christ knows all about our troubles. And the same Lord Jesus Christ who has saved you, who has redeemed you by his blood, he cares. He knows the difficulty you're going through. In Isaiah 43, we have those well-known words, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee." We see the compassion of Christ. He comes to the disciples in the midst of their difficulty. You know, we have to point out this morning that these disciples were not in the midst of a storm because they were being punished. That's not what's happening here. We must never get into that mindset. We must never automatically jump to the conclusion, well, there is a believer and they're going through hardship, therefore the Lord must be chastening them. They've done something wrong. We can't jump to that conclusion. In John chapter 9, the Lord Jesus rebukes his disciples for jumping to that conclusion. We cannot simply conclude that if a Christian is going through hardship, they're being chastened. One commentator says, as we read our Bibles, we discover there are two kinds of storms. Storms of correction, when God disciplines us, and storms of perfection, when God helps us to grow. We know that to be true. You think about the account we have in the book of Jonah. He refused to go to Nineveh. And so the Lord had to discipline and chasten him. But you look at Matthew chapter 14 here, and you see the disciples are in the midst of a storm, but they had not sinned. The Lord Jesus told them to go out into the boat, into the midst of the water, and they obeyed, and they still faced the storm. They were not in this storm because they sinned. And child of God, going through a hard time this morning, and you can't understand why, be encouraged. The Lord has a reason. The Lord has a purpose. You may not understand it. I may not understand it, but the Lord's in control. How often have we heard individuals testify of some hardship in their life, and many years later, they knew the Lord was working through it. We're thinking here of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to them in their hardship. He cares for them. He knows exactly where they are, exactly what they need. We see in verse 24 that the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Dangerous. But if we look at the previous verse, we see where the Lord Jesus Christ was. He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And whilst the disciples were being tossed about on a wild sea, the Lord Jesus Christ was at prayer. And many look at these verses and see a great picture here of the church today. We can identify with being tossed about on the sea. We can identify with being in the tempest. The church is in the midst of great difficulties. There's trials, there's hardships all around us. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, even now, is praying for us. Even in this day and age, when we're going through all kinds of difficulty, Christ is interceding for his people. He prays for us. Romans 8, verse 34, "It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And what a thought that is, believer. As we face trials, as we face temptations and hardships and difficulties in this life, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for me. He's remembering me. He knows my troubles, and he's interceding for me. Why, we can draw strength. The compassion of Christ here. He comes to them. He prays for them. But more than that, he speaks words of comfort to the disciples. Verse 27, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." How important that word straightway is. So that the disciples could immediately have ease in their mind. Christ spoke. He didn't delay. He spoke at just the right time. He knew the turmoil they were in. And so he spoke. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke himself. You remember, these disciples knew the voice of Christ. They talked with him one-to-one on a daily basis. And when they heard that voice, they were immediately at ease. They knew all was well. This was not a spirit. This was not something come to harm them. This was Christ. And they were at ease. The Bible reminds us that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And I wonder, believer, have you ever been going through a time of hardship? You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. And then you have experienced the Lord Jesus Christ drawing alongside you and speaking words of comfort, whispering words of peace in your ear and into your heart. And you have felt the relief flood your soul. I wonder, believer, have you ever sought that kind of relief in the midst of hardship? When you're battling, do you run to your friends and family? Oh, yes, they have their place. Or do you get to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and cry to him for help? Cry to him for comfort? Cry to him for peace? And so we see this morning here the compassion of Christ. But secondly, here in Matthew chapter 14, we see the surprise of the sailors. The surprise of the sailors, the men on board the ship, the disciples. It says there in Matthew chapter 14 and the verse 26, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear." The disciples were surprised to see Jesus Christ making his way towards them. The disciples didn't even recognize Christ. And yes, it was early in the morning, and yes, the light was dim. But the truth of the matter is, they had no thought for Christ. They never thought that in the midst of this hardship, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come to our aid. Never came into their heads. Never thought of it. And perhaps this morning you think, well, that seems a little ridiculous. How could the disciples not expect Christ to come and help them? But I expect at times, believers, we can all be guilty of that. We can all be guilty of not looking for the Lord to come and help us in trial and difficulty. Sometimes our faith is lacking. Sometimes we don't expect the help of the Lord. Maybe, believer, you've been confronted in your life by some decision that you must make. And you've decided, well, I'll pray over this matter. And yet in your heart of hearts, you never expect the Lord to come and to guide you. You're not looking for his guidance. And when the Lord does step in and seek to guide you, you do not recognize it. You have your mind made up. It was made up from the start. And you're like these disciples. You don't recognize the Savior. You're not expecting the Savior to come and to lead you and to guide you and to help you. I wonder, can that be said of any of us? That the Lord was coming to us to speak us, to speak to us, to direct us, and we missed it. We weren't looking for him. We weren't looking for his direction, for his help. You think about 1 Kings in the chapter 18. You remember there Elijah. And you remember that great battle, so to speak, there was between the prophets of Baal and Almighty God. 450 prophets of Baal, and they cried out to their false god that he would light the sacrifice. Of course, it didn't happen. And then Elijah called upon the name of the Lord, and Elijah's altar was saturated with water, and the Lord lit it in a moment. And Elijah continued on journeying, but he was downcast. And the Lord spoke to him again and again, but he was downcast. And the Lord questioned him, still downcast. And the Lord said to Elijah, I will appear unto you. And you remember there was the great wind. The Lord wasn't in that. There was the earthquake. The Lord wasn't in that. There was the fire. The Lord wasn't in that. And then there was the still small voice. And that's where the Lord was. And I ask you, believer, this morning, are you truly and honestly listening for the still small voice of God? Are you listening? Are you wanting to hear the Lord speak to you? The disciples in the boat didn't recognize Christ coming to them. And if the Lord speaks to you this morning, if he's coming to you with a message, are you listening? Will you recognize him? We see the surprise of the sailors. Thirdly, this morning, as we move down Matthew chapter 14, we also notice the doubt of the disciple. The doubt of the disciple. Verse 31, the Savior says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And of course, the Savior is speaking to Peter here. And when we look at these verses, really verses 29 right down through to 31, we see a picture of Peter's faith here. He starts so well. He believes. He has faith in Christ. He steps out onto the surface of the water. He walks on the surface because of his faith in Christ. But then he begins to doubt and he sinks. And I expect so many of us this morning can identify with the faith of Peter. One minute we're on a mountaintop. But the next minute we're sinking. Down in the valley. Peter starts out in faith here. It's not pride. It's not presumption. He requests of the Savior that he can come and meet him on the surface of the water. And the Savior says, come. And by permitting Peter to walk towards him, Christ was teaching Peter a valuable lesson here. Well, he was teaching him two lessons. He was teaching him the power of faith founded upon Christ. Because there is great power when our faith is founded upon Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And when our faith is in Christ, there is power. There is ability. But the Lord Jesus Christ was also teaching Peter here the crippling effect of doubt. Because when we doubt, we begin to sink. We begin to struggle. We can't cope in and of ourselves. And what a lesson there is here in the actions of Peter. Perhaps, believer, you can say that in the past, the Lord has instructed you to undertake some work for him. And you've undertaken that work in faith. And you've set out. You're confident that you're going to see it through. You're looking to the Lord. The Lord's going to provide. And though there's difficulties, I will see this through. The Lord has promised I'm going to see it through. But then you begin to doubt. And then you think, well, what am I doing this for? Can anything ever really be achieved? And doubt sets in. Or maybe, believer, the Lord in the past has given you some promise. And you've held on to that promise for months, even years. And you're looking to the Lord and you're believing and you're trusting. And the Lord is going to see this through, but then doubt sets in. And you think, when? Is the Lord ever going to fulfill his promise? And you're weary and your faith almost seems like it's shattered and you're beginning to sink just like Peter did. Maybe even, believer, at times you doubt your salvation. And the truth of the matter is, believer, we all go through that. And you can almost be driven to distraction. Troubled, concerned in your heart, am I really one of God's children? I say again, we've all been there. It's difficult. The great London preacher C.H. Spurgeon, who saw so much done in his ministry for the Lord, he experienced great times of doubt. Famously said that he doubted the man who never doubted. But he wrote the following. He said that he had went through various seasons of doubt many times. He says, I have doubted my interest in Christ, my calling, my election, my perseverance, my Savior's blood, and my Father's love. Great London preacher C.H. Spurgeon. And he confessed that so often his life was filled with doubt. And we see here in Matthew chapter 14 that Peter sinks. Why? Because of doubt. He took his eyes off Jesus Christ. He took his eyes off Jesus Christ and began to look at circumstances. He looked at the storm. He looked at other people. He doubted. Fear set in. And he began to sink. He began to sink because he took his eyes off Jesus Christ. Verse 30 says this, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And when we take our eyes off Jesus Christ and we look at the circumstances that are difficult and hard around us, we will begin to sink, just as Peter did. And as I've said, we all do it. We look at our lives. We look at our abilities. And we wonder, can the Lord ever fulfill his promises in us? We look at the sin, we look at how we let the Lord down, we look at our imperfect faith, and we ask the question, how could I ever be saved? And what's the problem? We're looking to ourselves. We're looking to circumstances. And the answer is, we must look to Jesus Christ. For Christian, when Peter looked at Jesus Christ, then he walked on the water. The hymn writer says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Christian, we must keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Not on ourselves, not on the storm, not on our circumstances, but on Jesus Christ. And finally, this morning, we come to Mark chapter 14. And we notice in this account that there is a pattern for peace. There's a pattern for peace. Yes, we've pointed out the experience of Peter here. And there is peace to be had in the Christian life by keeping our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe we can notice here in Matthew chapter 14, there is a pattern here for the sinner to follow as well. A pattern for peace with God. A pattern for assurance, for security, for safety, for all eternity. Surely when we look at Peter here, we see a picture of the sinner crying to the Lord for eternal salvation. You see, Peter, in this passage, he knew the Lord Jesus. But perhaps you're here this morning and you're not saved. You don't know Jesus Christ. You're separated from the Lord. You're not trusting in Christ. Your sins are not forgiven. But in many ways, you can identify with Peter here. Because Peter's sinking. Peter's situation is hopeless. He's helpless. He's frightened. He's scared. He can do nothing to help himself. An unsaved friend this morning, you are sinking. You are sinking in your sin. The Bible is clear that your sin separates you from God. It condemns you. Your sin must be punished. In and of yourself, you have no hope. You're lost. But I say to you this morning that if you are to know sins forgiven, if you are to know peace with God, you must do what Peter did here and cry out to the Lord Jesus for help. You must cry to the Lord for help. If you despair over your sin, if the Lord is working in your heart, then you must respond to the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in this passage, Matthew chapter 14, he says, come. Elsewhere in the scriptures, he says, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if you seek peace with God, eternal salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ says, come. You recognize who Jesus Christ is here. Look at this passage. The Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son. He controls nature. He walks on water. He is sovereign. He is very God of very God. And the instruction of Jesus Christ is, come. Come to Him. Come in faith. Submit to Him. The Bible says, repent, leave your sins behind, and place your trust in Jesus Christ. Recognize Him as Savior, as Master, as Lord. He came. He lived a life we never could. He never sinned. He went to the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood. He died for sinners. He rose again. We were saying just a few moments ago, He prays for His own people. And this same Savior brought this message of salvation through Him. Repent and believe. What did Peter say in this day of great distress? What was his only hope? Where did he turn? To Christ. And what did he say to Christ? Lord, save me. Unsaved individual in this gathering this morning, that is what you must do. As I say, you're sinking in your sin. There's no hope. But there's hope in Jesus Christ. And that you turn to Him and say, Lord, cry upon Him. Call upon Him for mercy. Look to Him, Lord, save me.